Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Zmirek.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
John, I just want to talk to you. I don't care what we talk about. I don't care who's listening. If people are smart, they're listening carefully. We could talk about what's the major domo, Cuomo.
The Duce is hanging from his heels from a lamppost, finally. A
lamppost with his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that we're comparing him to Mussolini. That would be really a...
insult to Mussolini.
Halophobic... We don't want to be but seriously, because it just happened yesterday, we probably should talk about that.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Feelings in a way, because these things are always so complicated. Initially, there's simple schadenfreude, although even schadenfreude is making it sound more negative. I think it's a good thing when justice is done pure and simple. But what are your thoughts?
It's like watching Al Capone go to prison for tax evasion or O.J. Simpson go to jail for stealing sports memorabilia. You're glad they're going to go behind bars. You kind of wish they'd been convicted of the really serious thing that they did, but you're glad anyway. And I really, really, and I want to say this to the whole Cuomo family. I hope Andrew goes to prison, state prison, and spends some time in state prison. That's my hope, and that my prayer circle, we're going to be asking the Lord to send Andrew to prison for at least some time behind bars.
Are you, you going to be praying the imprecatory psalms along these lines?
Yes, exactly. Although I do not want to bash the children of the Cuomo family against the rocks. I'll leave that kind of behavior for the Cuomos.
Now look, we joke in this bitter, dark way, but really to be serious, when someone like this governor behaves in the way he does with women, that's one thing. What you're saying, because it's important, you're saying without hyperbole that you believe that his actions as governor led to the deaths of thousands of elderly people. That's not an interpretation. You're saying this
that's
is
a fact.
What really happened.
Okay. You and I saw the empty beds at Samaritan's Purse, which Franklin Graham uses his own organization's money to set up in Central Park. We saw the empty beds on the USS Comfort that Donald Trump, as commander-in-chief, sailed up next to New York to provide empty hospital beds for COVID patients. We saw the memo that Cuomo put out ordering that nursing homes be forced to accept COVID patients. The one group of people most vulnerable to COVID, the one place where it really is a death sentence, is a nursing home. So I cannot come up with any other interpretation but that Andrew Cuomo was trying to inflate the death statistics for COVID as the pretext for a lockdown like the one that was going on in other blue states where the governors dumped COVID patients in nursing homes, pushed up the death statistics, and used this as a pretext to do mail-in balloting and all the other tactics that were used would subsequently be used to steal a 2020 election.
Okay, John, I just want to say, and you traditionally are right on this and I'm wrong, which is why I want to bring it up to you. It is always hard for me to believe, I think as an American, that my fellow American would do something that would deliberately kill people, knowingly do that. In other words, I want to look for a more anodyne interpretation of his actions. When he sent elderly people, when he sent COVID patients into the nursing homes, is there not at least another interpretation of that? Because I still find it hard to believe that people in this day and age would in this country do something like that, to run up the death rate, as you put it. It's just hard for me to take that in. I'd like to find a better way of seeing it. And I'm not kidding. You know I'm not.
Yeah, I know. This is a guy who lit up the Empire State Building pink to celebrate legalizing partial birth abortion in New York and making Roe v. Wade part of the New York State Constitution. This is a guy who, again, we cannot find real-world explanations for why you would send COVID patients to a nursing home. You know, Eric, early on in this crisis, I wrote a hideous piece of satire, and I thought it was in poor taste at the time. And if I think something's in poor taste, it probably is. I said, drag queen story hour for kids makes as much sense as coronavirus story hour at a nursing home. I mean, I meant that as a satire, like, well, the liberals, they want to send drag queens to infect children with gender dysphoria. They don't seem to think it through. It would be like sending coronavirus patients to nursing homes. 3 weeks later, I think Cuomo read my satire and said, okay, another good policy from Smirak. Whenever I write these hideous satires, weeks later, they turn into left-wing policy points where they actually do them. I think I need to stop because I'm giving them ideas. 3 weeks later, he actually did it and dumped coronavirus patients. Now, the allegation was there was a crisis, a shortage of hospital beds, except you and I saw with our own eyes, empty hospital beds. So Andrew Cuomo would rather dump coronavirus patients on nursing homes than give Franklin Graham or Donald Trump credit for providing empty hospital beds. That is inarguable. He made that decision. Now, maybe there was some financial motive because hospitals got a lot of money from treating COVID patients, and he was real close with the heads of several hospitals. Hospitals which, by the way, had been wrenched away from the Archdiocese of New York in some backroom political deal where the church lost control of a ton of hospitals. So a lot of these were former Catholic hospitals that the state had succeeded in wrenching out of the hands of the church and then turned into killing fields for helpless elderly people. So we know that rather than give Donald Trump credit for the USF Comfort, or Franklin Graham and the other Christians who set up their hospitals in Central Park, credit by letting them save lives, Andrew Cuomo sentenced thousands of veterans from World War II and the Korean War, grandmothers, to die alone on ventilators, having no visitors, no phone calls, no anointing by priests.
I want to push you, John. I just want to press you on this. Do you think, and I'm not, I don't want you to be overly cynical. Honestly, do you think he did that intentionally? It just makes me think that maybe he didn't think they would die. In other words, he's trying to prevent Trump and Franklin Graham from getting any good press. But at the same time,
What medical advice would tell you the most vulnerable population, elderly people in nursing homes, that you should send the most virulent infected patients with a new deadly virus and send them there?
I mean, look, I
ask you, what is the rational explanation for that?
I'm hoping that he did it out of ignorance and not out of awareness. That's all.
I don't hope that, because then he was just clinically insane. Anyone could have seen dumping COVID patients on nursing homes was murder. And the Democrats did it in state after state after state.
Okay, what other states did this?
New Jersey, Connecticut, Michigan, California. Virtually all the big blue states did this. Then, oh, wow, they had these suddenly high death statistics, and they could lock down the states, grab emergency powers, like what Gretchen Whitmer was still trying to exercise, the legislature took it away. Look, you and I believe these people tried to stole an election.
We're going to pick up on the other side of the break. John Smirak, do not go away.
Hey, there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
John, you were alleging in the previous segment that these blue state governors, Cuomo, of course, number one, but then Murphy in New Jersey and Whitmer in Michigan and whoever is in Connecticut and
Newsom in California,
that they and Newsom in California, that they were aware somehow that by sending coronavirus patients into nursing homes, it would enable them to do these other things, to take control. Do you think this was coordinated among them? And how would that have happened? In other words, that's hard for me to figure out.
Joe Biden's chief coronavirus advisor was a Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, the brother of Rahm Emanuel. He was Joe Biden's number one guy on making coronavirus policy. He has said publicly that people over age 70 should not receive life-saving medication because they had already lived long enough. That life after 70 has no real value or meaning. He favors passive euthanasia for elderly people. He said he has no desire to live past age 70 and doesn't see why anyone else should.
Maybe they could kill him yesterday.
Well, yeah. The point is, when Joe Biden's chief medical advisor is saying the lives of people over 70 have no value, that they're like sick pets at a kill shelter, why should we be surprised when the Democrats, in a coordinated fashion, dump coronavirus patients in nursing homes? There's a massive spike in death statistics. Then they use that massive spike to invoke emergency powers, suspend their state constitutions, and create mail-in ballots. It all worked together as part of an effort to use the COVID crisis as a pretext to render the Constitution null and void, to stop the free exercise of religion, to stop free gatherings, to stop people from having political meetings. Meanwhile, they still have Lollapalooza. They still have parties for Barack Obama. They're trying to make vaccination a kind of like badge of nobility. So if you've been vaccinated, you're exempt from all these requirements. And so we've been vaccinated, so we can do whatever we want. It's interesting. It's a kind of vaccine apartheid that they're trying to impose on Americans. If you're willing to take the vaccine made from or tested on aborted babies, if you're willing to do that, you can be part of the mainstream. But if you're not willing to do that, if you're a serious pro-lifer or if you're a skeptic of this experimental vaccine, and you don't trust it necessarily because you don't trust Anthony Fauci because you know how he screwed up the AIDS pandemic, and you know that he authorized the removal of intact fetuses with their hearts beating to be transferred to the NIH for experimentation and for organ removal. That has been documented. The University of Pittsburgh got dozens of babies with their hearts still beating removed alive from the womb so that their organs could be used in research.
Yeah, I've not heard that. I think I heard it glancingly from you.
It's at the Federalist, Eric. It's totally mainstream information. The Republican Senate candidate in Pennsylvania is calling for people to go to prison over it.
Do me a favor for my audience and for me, reprise this because it's shocking what you just said. I have not clearly understood that until now. Please say that again.
Reports have emerged that a National Institute for Institutes of Health study that Fauci authorized to get intact organs from unborn babies, and what they do is remove them from the womb alive and then take their organs, because once the fetus is dead, the organ tissue becomes useless. And that's the kind of abortion that produced the cells on which all the vaccines are based. All of the COVID vaccines are based on cells from a baby that was taken out intact and killed outside the womb.
All of the vaccines, I thought one or two, not all.
Well, all of them were either developed with fetal tissue or tested on fetal tissue. It all goes back to one abortion in the Netherlands in 1967, I believe, and there's a name for the cell line, HZK or something like that. All the fetal tissue that is used in our labs comes from this one abortion in the Netherlands in 1967. And at stream.org, we had a doctor, Jose Tresneros, do an analysis of it. And he showed us that in order to get viable fetal tissue, that they have to immediately remove the child. It's not like you couldn't use a miscarried fetus. The tissue still has to be alive. The same with organ donors. The person has to be on life support. And the heart has to still be beating when they take the organs. That's why we invented the concept of brain death. It's the same thing with fetal tissue. And it has just come out that the University of Pittsburgh, with NIH funding, approved by Fauci, was taking fetuses intact out of the womb with their hearts beating so that their organs could be cannibalized for parts in research labs. David DeLeiden was exposing this about Planned Parenthood, and the state of California is still trying to put him in prison. Clearly, people don't want us to know about this.
When you talk about this, John, of course, I think of we've had a few folks on this program talking about what they call organ harvesting among particularly from Uyghur Muslims who were murdered in China.
Yeah.
This is Nazi science. In other words, this is what the Nazis would have done if they had the technology. Poor Nazis didn't have the technology, but now we do.
Right.
And we're doing this. And it rests on a worldview antithetical to what most people in this country, I think, believe in. But they simply never hear this unless maybe they listen to this program.
Just yesterday, I had to go to my doctor and tell him I'm not taking the vaccine for religious reasons. And he was like, why? And he didn't know that all the vaccines approved in the West were at least tested on aborted tissue from aborted babies, tissue clones from aborted babies. My doctor didn't know. So what I did was I got the prescriptions for the steroids and antibiotics, the Z-Pak and the prednisone, that you would use if you get COVID, because I'm in a risk group. I'm overweight. So I could either take the dead baby vaccine and, you know, benefit from abortion, or I can face the reality I might well catch COVID. It seems like the more people get vaccinated, the more the disease spreads. One of my best friends, Jason Jones, got COVID along with his whole family. And he told me the medicines he took. I've got a prescription for them, and they're going to be sitting in my cabinet. So if I get COVID, I'm going to take the prednisone and the Z-Pak that they would give me in the hospital, and I'm hopeful that I'll be okay. I'd rather do that than be entailed in and benefit from the crime of abortion. And I want Christians and pro-lifers out there to think about that before they take this vaccine, that our elites are trying to make the condition of your citizenship, the condition of your travel, the condition of buying and selling, the mark you must get if you want to buy and sell in the marketplace. That resonates with me somewhere. It's a literary reference.
Comes from an old book written by some Jewish folks. I don't know.
Oh, the Jews write all the good books, don't they?
Years ago, I think there was a guy named John Johannes. I don't know. Hey, listen, what you just said, John, I want to use this to tell my audience. I keep reading that if your immune system is strong, it's very hard for you to get the virus. Therefore, take vitamin D, take vitamin C, take zinc, take magnesium. There are a number of things you can take. I wasn't going to use this to plug Nutramedics, but why not? Nutramedics.com, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. When you take these things, your immune system is strengthened, and it's much harder for you to contract any virus, not just the COVID variants. But it's really important, folks, that you stay healthy, exercise, eat right, and for goodness sake, take vitamin D, take zinc. These things are really important prophylactics against getting viruses, getting the common cold. It's very easy to do. John, let's keep talking.
This is the immune system God gave us. I'll trust it over the one Fauci is giving us using the fruit of abortion. I don't want that in my bloodstream. Archbishop Vigano calls the use of fetal tissue for vaccine communion with Satan using babies that have been offered to the devil in sacrifice. Now, that sounds over the top, but I've read his argument, and it's 100% logical. It follows. And my column today at the stream is going to be taking Archbishop Vigano's statement about fetal tissue and vaccines and unpacking it for an ecumenical, broader Christian audience so that people see using our murdered children to benefit ourselves for our own health, to let us be able to travel and go to parties and have fun. It's a lot like what the Carthaginians did when they sacrificed their firstborn.
I want to go to a concert, man. Give me the dead baby vaccine. It's kind of like that. It's sick. John, it's just always so informative talking to you. When we come back, we're going to talk about Don Rickles. We're going to try to talk about something slightly more cheerful, and we will succeed. Don't go away.
Chat, 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 demo. Take this song to my lover.
The city streets are empty now. Listen, I'm talking to John Smirak. You have a standing homework assignment. Go to the stream.org. Find John's articles, print them out, make your friends read them. John, let's talk about Don Rickles.
Yeah, I've got a new piece at stream.org called I Cannot Lead, Will Not Follow, and Refuse to Get Out of the Way. I am the heckler. And it's a piece about sort of explaining to readers, you know, I don't know if this happens to you. Periodically, someone will say, oh my God, John, what you just wrote is so courageous. How do you have the strength to do that? Or the worst, they'll say, you're kind of prophetic. You remind me of Jeremiah. And I go, thank you. And then I go off and have a panic attack. I didn't know I was doing anything courageous. What? So what was so courageous about it? What's going to happen to me now? Are the Capitol Police going to show up and shoot me like Ashley Babbitt? I mean, anything is possible in Biden's America. What? I didn't know I was being courageous. Believe me, it was not my intent. I just happen to be a complete crazy contrarian from childhood. And you're always urging me to write a memoir. Well, this column was like a little piece of memoir explaining to people that I don't deserve any credit for being right about a lot of things before other people. It's just because I'm a contrarian. At age 2, I was hospitalized for pneumonia, and I disappeared in the hospital. Astoria General Hospital, where you and I were born.
Where we were born, John, remember? We were so young then, so innocent.
So I escaped from the oxygen tent, and there was this full-on search with my mother and the doctors and the nurses. Wait.
You're not kidding. You're 2 years old. You have pneumonia. You're in an oxygen tent, and you escaped.
And they found me hiding under another kid's hospital bed, giggling like crazy at the prank I had pulled on the hospital staff.
You scare me.
I was hatched this way. From the lizard egg my mother laid, I crawled out of that egg, and I was hatched this way. So,
you really are—you are a contrarian. I remember when we were practically kids. I was 19; you were 18. We were at Yale, and you do have this kind of personality. It's what I find so delightful about you. But how do you relate it to Don Rickles in this article at Stream.org?
Well, growing up, I would watch, you know, we all watched a lot of TV. There were only three networks plus PBS. And my favorite show was Dean Martin's Celebrity Roast. And when Don Rickles...
I'm not kidding. That was literally my favorite show, too. I'm not kidding.
And Don Rickles was the best part. He was absolutely fearless. He would make the edgiest jokes. He would joke about ethnic groups and race. He was absolutely fearless. You know, he would make jokes about his own Jewish heritage, jokes about Italians. He would turn to a black celebrity, a woman celebrity on the panel and say, come over later. I just want you to do the living room. I mean, just, oh, totally beyond the pale. And I loved him so much that it came to the point when he would come on stage, I would stand up with my hand on my heart as if he were the national anthem. And I would stand for the entirety of Don Rickles' performances. Well, so Don Rickles being my mentor, my spirit animal, if you will, when I was in my high school, which was kind of a lot like Welcome Back, Cotter, I call it Our Lady of the Sweat Hogs, I was a young Niles Crane. They were all listening to Stairway to Heaven over and over and over again and smoking Marlboros and sneaking off to smoke joints. I'm using my free periods to watch film strips about the Baroque and Rococo periods of art and music. And I get into Yale, which shocks me. And I go to Yale and I find the liberal preppy so obnoxious that I start dressing like a guy from Queens in a Bon Jovi, no, a Def Leppard t-shirt, stonewashed jeans, blasting Kiss records from my dorm and telling everyone that they're all saying they want to join the Peace Corps. In fact, they all went and became bankers on Wall Street. But they're all like, oh, I'm going to work for social justice. I was reading Soldier of Fortune magazine and telling people I wanted to be a mercenary Rhodesia to fight communism. So this is my way of making friends.
This is true, because I remember you well enough back then. But point of the article, I mean, the idea is that there is a freedom that Don Rickles had that is being squelched.
Right.
He couldn't make any of those jokes today. He would be accused of being a racist. He wasn't a racist.
No, he was not even a misanthrope.
Sensitive to this.
He was not even a misanthrope. It was a persona. It was a way of being playful, of taking genuine tensions between ethnic groups and diffusing them by holding them up to mockery, holding stereotypes up to mockery, and making them less toxic. Right now, what we're doing is trying to make everything as toxic as possible so that we can demonize white men the way the Hutus demonized the Tutsis in Rwanda. The campaign against whites, against men, against Christians, against Western civilization that we're seeing from our media is as coordinated and as hateful as that which the Hutu extremists used in Rwanda to dehumanize the Tutsi cockroaches who needed to be exterminated. That's why they're teaching children in schools that America was founded as a haven for slavery, when in fact slavery was everywhere in the world in 1619, except for Western Europe. And it would be the West, it would be Britain, and shortly afterwards the United States that abolished slavery and then had to force the Muslim world at the point of British gunboats to stop selling black slaves in the late 19th century. So the idea that America is illegitimate because we had slavery, I want to ask, is Morocco an illegitimate government because they had slavery? Saudi Arabia? The whole Muslim world was built on slavery for centuries. Are all those governments illegitimate? Should those countries be teaching their children to hate their country, hate their religion, hate their founders, hate their heritage
We're going to go to a break and we're going to come back with the answer to that question. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. Everybody writes in, Eric, when you talk to John Zmirak, talk less. You know what? You're exactly right. But John, I get so excited with you. I just blather. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. John, let's talk about Portland. What happened?
To me, the most shocking incident in my lifetime in America. This, to me, shocked me way more than 9/11 did. A church group was gathering legally with a permit to have an outdoor service near Portland, Oregon, in a park. The local chapter of Antifa announced they were going to shut it down. They show up at the church event and attack. They attack the congregation. They fire pepper gas. They spray pepper gas. They use big plastic shields. They take the church's sound equipment and throw it in the river. They take away their food. They disperse it. They close it down. And the police are there, and they do absolutely nothing.
Okay, this was my friend, Sean Foyt. Let Us Worship is the organization. These folks are heroes. Why would Antifa, let's think about this, why would they try to shut down an event worshiping God? What is wrong with them? In other words, Antifa purports to be anti-fascist. Why can't people with groovy hair play guitars and worship Jesus outside? What is Antifa's issue?
They are actually anti-Western, anti-Christian, anti-American. They are communists. Antifa was always a communist organization. It has existed since the 1920s when it was founded by the German Communist Party.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it makes no bones about it. It's the same organization. It has a direct organizational continuity with the communist street thugs of the 1920s and 30s who fought it out with the Nazis in the streets. The one difference is they figured out how the Nazis won. The way the Nazis won in the 1930s was they would have street fights, beat up their enemies. The communists would fight back. The socialists would fight back. The Catholics would fight back. But the judges would always side with the Nazis. The judges were sympathetic to the Nazis because they saw communism as the greater threat. They were anti-Semitic. They were sympathetic to rebuilding the German military and undoing the Treaty of Versailles. So they would let the Nazi thugs off with a slap on the wrist. But if the Christians or the communists or the socialists fought back, they would go to prison. That is exactly what the blue state governors and mayors did in the riots of 2020. It's okay to burn gas stations, but if you're Kyle Rittenhouse trying to defend the gas station, we're going to charge you with murder. It's okay to loot bars in downtown Omaha, but if you're Jake Gardner and try to defend your bar and defend yourself against violent assault, we're going to charge you with murder. There's a term for this. It's a mode of governance. It's called anarcho-tyranny. Google anarcho-tyranny. That's where one political faction uses anarchy on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and tyranny on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Anarchy is when you let your own people riot and attack their enemies and steal things. But if people try to fight back, if the other side, like the Proud Boys, show up, or homeowners like the McCluskeys try to defend their homes, then tyranny kicks in. Then you start enforcing every law to the last jot and tittle in the most aggressive possible way. Why are there dozens of political prisoners rotting in a gulag in Washington, D.C. for taking selfies in the Capitol when thousands of Antifa thugs who burned down neighbors threw Molotov cocktails at cops, set fires to federal courthouses? They got off. Kamala Harris raised their bail money. Michelle Obama during the Democrat National Convention, actually threatened America and said if Joe Biden didn't win the election, things were going to get much worse. Vote for Biden as if your life depends on it. That's almost a literal quote. She issued an extortion threat. It's like she went up to the it's like some thug going up to a store owner going, nice store you got here, real nice plate glass windows. It'd be a real shame if anything were to happen to it. Vote for Joe Biden.
Well, look, I know everything you're saying is true. It's lamentable, to put it mildly. Did you track with the comments made by Ben Shapiro that the folks who were in jail for January 6th deserve to be there? I don't understand why he would say something like that.
Because he is a sniveling rat-faced punk. I'm sorry. I think Ben Shapiro, he is dead to me since he said that. That is absolutely disgraceful.
Why this, do you think he would say a thing like that? I don't really don't understand. I interviewed him for C-SPAN.
All you need to know. All you need to know about Ben Shapiro. He makes sarcastic remarks in columns about blue-collar people losing their jobs and wanting populist policies. Ben Shapiro makes $60,000 for each campus speech he makes. $60,000. Every time he shows up to open his little mouth, he makes more money than those blue-collar workers will make in an entire year. And he writes smug little commentaries mocking people for being upset that their jobs were outsourced to China or given to illegal immigrants. I hate the fact that there are anti-Semitic people out there, especially on Gab, who go after Ben Shapiro for his background as a Jewish person. The only thing I like about Ben Shapiro is that he's part of my favorite ethnic group, the Jewish people of our Lord Jesus Christ and Mother Mary and Saint Joseph. I like that Ben Shapiro is Jewish. I don't like that Ben Shapiro is smug, arrogant, and part of an establishment that wants to shut down populist politics and turn the Republican Party right back over to Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney and Jeb Bush, all the people who are managing us and keeping us quiet and obedient while the Democrats ate our lunch and destroyed our country.
I'm not really aware of Ben Shapiro in the way that you are. I interviewed him recently for Book TV, C-SPAN. I'm surprised to hear this, John. We've just got 20 seconds. Has he always been this way?
I suspect so. He certainly never stepped forth and been courageous. And what we need are courageous people like Ashley Babbitt and Jake Gardner and Kyle Rittenhouse. That's the kind of American we need. People willing to put it on the line for our liberties at a time when communists are trying to take them all away.
John, it's always a total delight to speak with you. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women on my mind. 4 that want to own me, 2 that want to stone me, 1 so she's a friend of mine.
Albin. I got to say that two things. We made a new video ad. We made the one about Joe Biden at the swimming pool for MyPillow. We decided we need to make one for Nutramedics. Yes. for the video. So if you watch these videos, you're going to see our new ad. It's astonishing. We don't want to give it away, Albin.
No.
Because it's a marvel of editing. It's just creative genius. So we've made an ad on, you can go to rumble.com to our channel, but if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get it when you watch these videos.
Yes.
But it's a funny ad, and it's encouraging you to go to Nutramedics.com to use the code Eric. But I think I said this in a previous conversation. And Zmirak mentions this whenever we talk about COVID, but no joke, this is serious. The more I watch about COVID, about this virus, the more I realize that the one thing they never talk about, which is utterly central, is your immune system. The reason we get colds in the winter is because in the winter, our vitamin D levels go down. Now, this is a fact, okay? I can back it up. You can look it up on the internet. I'm not just making this up.
your vitamin D. Dr. Cole from, I think it was Iowa, talked about this in one of these videos that's been taken down from YouTube because, you know, it was deemed false information on COVID. Guess what? It's not at all false information, but look it up anywhere on the internet. Vitamin D helps your immune system when you take it every day. And so the reason people get colds in the winter is because their vitamin D levels go down because they don't get sunlight, right? So we should always be taking vitamin D, especially now when you've got things like COVID bouncing around, whether it's the flu, whether it's a cold. If your immune system is beefed up, you're much less likely to catch this stuff, including COVID, right? So they're not talking about this. So if you beef up your immune system, be outdoors to get sunlight, but take vitamin D, Nutramedics.com, take vitamin C, take zinc. Those are three things off the top of my head. If you go to Nutramedics.com, you can order them. But we're not saying this just, you know, because Nutramedics is a sponsor of the program. I'm saying it because it's true. Yeah. If you have vitamin D around the house, if you don't want to go to Nutramedics.com and use the code Eric and give 50% of their profits to missionary organizations, if you don't want to do that, I don't care. Take vitamin D anyway. Take zinc, take vitamin C. When you beef up your immune system, you're tremendously less likely to catch stuff. Okay. I've done the research on this. These are facts, folks. So yeah, I just thought I have to say this. We should also actually mention, Albin, we're doing a fundraiser for Food for the Poor.
Yes.
There are kids, particularly in Haiti right now, starving. Okay. They've been through hell. It gets worse. Food for the Poor helps them really dramatically. If you give $37, you're feeding a kid for 6 months. That is how far Food for the Poor is able to extend an American dollar. So we want you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com, and click on the banner there. I just think it's important. We only do this for this month. So we've just got a couple of weeks left.
And any amount, by the way, $5, $10, whatever, $100, $1,000, you get entered into our giveaway so that you get a grand prize. If you win, there's three of them we're going to announce at the end of the month. And also you can call 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. Take it away, Eric.
Yeah, well, people can do this. You can do it right now. 844-863-HOPE. These are all important things, folks. I don't want you to think we're just blowing smoke here. This is a tremendous cause. You can go to metaxastalk.com, click on the banner, or go 844-863-HOPE. And I do mean it about Nutramedics and about your immune system. It's kind of an important thing, particularly now. So we'll be back.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.